Kardashian in the tightest dress known to man?
Ooh. I don't think she's particularly attractive myself.
I do, I have to say.
No, there's a lot more attractive women than that.
Well, there's a lot of attractive women. That's
to me, you're not recording this, are you?
Because I'm going to say,
to me, she looks like a whore. Even when she's just dressed up, she looks like a whore.
That's interesting. I won't. You know? I won't promote that. Last crack at it anyway. She looks a little bit like Cher to me.
Could be. Could be. But you haven't contradicted me yet.
Well, I think she's attractive, but I guess that doesn't necessarily contradict you either.
No, that doesn't either.
I've watched the show. I have to say that was a guilty pleasure a couple times, but I can't watch it anymore because her sisters. I watched their show, Chloe and
right,
and somebody else, Take Miami.
Right.
I can't think of her name now. So
I can't think of it either, but I you talked about it on this.
Yeah, I did. And the boyfriend of the other one is such an asshole that, you know, and you know, we have a natural affinity to cute girls, and I think her sister's cute too.
Right.
And, you know, I can't watch her being with this guy who's just a flaming asshole.
Well, that must be what it's like for you to see Scarlett Johansson with, what's his name?
Well, no, it's not because at least I like him.
Oh, okay.
This guy is a spectacular asshole. They showed a clip of this show where he got pasted drunk. They went out to dinner. I mean, he was potted. He and her brother got drunk, which I can't hate him for being young and getting shit-faced because right. I did that myself. But the mom said, don't give him any more booze. And he said, you know, give me another drink. And the waiter, poor waiter, was caught in the middle. And eventually he got up and shoved a $100 bill in the waiter's mouth. And at that point, you're just like, somebody fucking hit that guy.
Right.
You know, and a waiter, if he hits a patron, he's probably going to get fired. But it was just really bad behavior. And yeah. And then another time they caught him. She wouldn't talk to him because he was being such a dick. And he punched the mirror and cut himself all up.
Well, I can pride myself
on never having seen
by stating yet. By stating this categorically, I have never seen that show. I never saw. I never watched the original one. I didn't watch the sister one. And I can almost say that I've never watched a reality show. I did watch a couple of episodes of Big Brother with Mrs. Fab P. Oh, maybe two or 3 years ago. No, when he was into watching it, it was already past my having seen it twice.
Your tolerance level.
And I thought it was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life, if only because of the fact that you call it a reality show and then you are as far away from reality as absolutely possible.
Well, which goes back to my theory that reality shows are sports for women. They take real people and put them in unreal positions under stress.
Right.
And then people watch for the emotion.
Do you think that reality shows have kind of taken over for soap operas because of, A, the fact that women aren't home during the day like they used to be because they're out working and they're not going to put soap operas on at night. They need something more.
That's an interesting theory. If we ever published this, we'd be in big trouble for being sexist assholes. But
well, no, I don't think so. No, I don't think, you know, when you phrase it as being sports for women.
Well, I admit that I could get in trouble for that too. I think that's what it is, because I think women are more interested in the emotion. I mean, I think that's why we like drama.
Well, yeah, but it's also the difference between why some people like will watch drama shows and other people will watch. I mean, what's the difference between, say, the show House and the show CSI? They're both dramas, but what's the difference? The difference is in terms of the appeal. I think that a show like CSI is created to appeal to the male, and a show like House is created to appeal to the female. Now, that doesn't mean that a male can't watch House. I used to watch House. I liked that show.
No, I get your point.
You know, and something like the one that was on Friday nights, the Numbers.
Yeah.
Appeal to the male, well, to the male geek.
Yeah.
I've got a list of TV shows from TV.com. Smallville is the number one show.
That's interesting. I would say that's a women's show.
Well, to me, it sounds like it. I've never seen it, but it's Superman. It's Clark Kent and...
It's young Clark Kent. It's teenage Clark Kent.
Right.
And, you know, my sister Paula really likes that show.
Oh, does she? That's interesting.
Because it's got John Schneider on it, or it had John Schneider on it.
Ooh. Oh, from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Right.
And she's a Dukes of Hazzard fan.
She loves the Dukes, yeah.
Right. So I know I've heard of people who watch it, but I don't know anything about it. But going down the list, Bones is on there.
That's a relationship show. That's a women's show.
Yeah, but you know what? It's a broader based appeal because isn't it about like autopsy doctors or?
Well, yeah, it's actually based on a female
coroner, right?
But it's the classic non-romantic relationship that everybody
hate you love you, right? The guy, I don't know, the guy's the detective or something, and she's
and she's the coroner.
The coroner, right?
They sort of have been denying that they love each other for years now.
Right. And as soon as they stop, that's when the show jumps the shark and it's over.
Right. That's true.
As happens with most of these shows. Right. As soon as they give in to that desire, whatever that desire, it's out there. You know, I mean, jeepers, Gilligan can only fuck up the rescue so many times.
I thought you were going to say Gilligan can only fuck Ginger so many times.
No, must
be a different version of The Island that I watched.
Right. All right, Grey's Anatomy.
Definitely a women's show.
Absolutely. NCIS.
You know, that show has jumped the shark somewhere along the lines, but it's
It's really hot, though, right now.
Yeah, it is. And I used to watch it quite a bit. It's ridiculous. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun because the characters are broadly drawn and a lot of fun.
And it's got Ilya Kuryakin in it.
It does have Ilya Kuryakin in it, which makes it a guy's show. But it's definitely a women's show, too. I think that's a both.
Yep. House is next after that. House is definitely a both.
Yeah.
You know?
Leaning towards the women.
I would think so. A lot of women think he's very attractive, and so because of that, you know, there's not a whole lot of eye candy for the guys in the show, so the guys depend on the drama part and the medical part, and the women depend on the...
Yeah, I don't know how many guys watch it. I don't watch it because I think I have that rare and impossible disease.
Every week.
Every week
it's something new. I'm sweating. I'm tired in the morning.
That's right. I have an itch. I sneezed. And
my throat hurts. Right, I think my glands are swollen.
Yeah. Well, When I ran back into the house because it was raining and my pulse was racing. I have that. Whatever it is, I have it. You know, the woman who plays the administrator doctor.
Yes.
And I don't know how I know this, and I have no idea what the show was, but she played a transsexual who had been a man at one point.
Really?
Yeah. So I can't tell you what the show was, but...
Yeah, wow. That's interesting.
Hang on for just a second. It's time to throw the cat.
Sure.
I try to be nice.
Yep. You have to go. You pull down the antenna.
Yes.
That's great.
That's what happened.
Matt?
Anyway, sorry. Back to TV shows.
Don't be sorry. Okay, so then after NCIS and House, Criminal Minds, Dexter.
I think
Criminal Minds is a male show.
Yeah, I don't watch it. It's just so much of the slice 'em and dice 'em shows that I can take. For the most part, I don't like them.
Right.
When they get into the graphic insides of the human body, I don't care.
Uh-huh.
But I think you're right. I think it's probably a male show.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
And what was the next one? Oh, Dexter.
Dexter.
I suppose, and I haven't seen it, but I've heard a lot of talk about it. It's got to be a guy's show.
Well, you know, I think that it basically is, but I think that there's a broad appeal to women for that show also.
Really?
Because I know that Mrs. Fat P was fascinated with it for she watched 2.5 episodes, 2.5 years of the episodes.
I was talking to my boss about it, and she said she didn't think it would be a show she'd like.
Yeah, interesting. All right, next on the list is Desperate Housewives.
Gee, I wonder who that's for.
Yeah, a male show. After that,
wait a minute. You were kidding, right? Yeah, it's got 4 good-looking women in it, but that show's for women.
Right. Well, you know,
it started out, I watched it too, and after a while, it was just, oh, please.
Right, I know. I think that's it. It's an eye candy show for men. You know, in the same way that something like Grey's Anatomy, you know, the girls are cute, so it makes guys watch it a little bit, but for the women, you know, they're there for House. You know, it's the same thing with a lot of those shows.
The guys watch them for the women, and the women watch them for the emotion.
Right, right.
So if that's the case, is that a male show or a female show or both?
Well, I think it crosses over. I think it's both.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think right.
I really do. And you know, there are certain ones, like, for example, the ones that are coming up now are more obvious. Glee.
You know what? That's a women's show, but I like it anyway. I don't care.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then the CSI, CSI New York, CSI, and CSI Miami.
Right. That's – I don't like that show.
I think they're male shows.
Every time I see CSI Miami being introduced, I can't help but think of that line from South Park where Ike is up in the spaceship, I think it is, the first season, and Stan says, do your impersonation of David Caruso's career. I hate David Caruso.
Uh-huh.
Talk about bad acting. Ooh.
Yeah, he is pretty bad.
He's awful.
He's a one-trick pony, basically.
But, you know, I heard, speaking of acting, I heard somebody say, the guy who was on the original CSI, the main guy, did
right.
such a good job playing this stoic, non-emotional guy that people miss the fact that he was a great actor.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's probably true. This next one up is pretty interesting. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about it, which is Big Bang Theory.
You know, I think that's both.
I would agree with you 100%. I think it is both.
We were talking about it at lunch today.
Uh-huh.
There was a woman sitting next to me, and she said, I love that show. And I love it personally. And my
now, brother, do you think that that is because it's comedy rather than drama, and so its appeal is more broadly based, or is it because it doesn't have this – it's not approached, you know, the standard way that sitcoms or dramas are approached.
I think it's a little bit that, but I think mostly it's that, and maybe this is self-congratulating. I think it's written smartly.
Yeah, I don't think that's self-congratulating. I think that's true.
I think, well, unlike a lot of situation comedies. And I'll name one, 2.5 Men, which is a very funny show. I think Big Bang is written intellectually, and it's funny as hell.
Yeah.
It's just really funny. And I know lots of women that like it. I know lots of men that like it. I think that, you know, there's the whole relationship thing with the, you know, cute girl across the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I mean, it's a standard formula. I mean,
oh,
you know,
it's classic. Yeah, absolutely. It's,
Big Bang Theory is like Three's Company for nerds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the same show. You know, you just take the basics and flip them around a little bit, but it's the same show.
Jeez, I hope not, because I hate it. Three's Company. Three's Company makes me puke. It's the worst show. I love to watch The Dukes of Hazzard compared to Three's Company.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, but I really, really like The Big Bang Theory, and I know men and women that like it. A lot of women like it. Now that I think about it, I can name three. I mean, considering I don't live with women, you know, that's quite a lot.
I live with two, and they both love it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we make a habit of watching it.
Yeah, that's appointment television. Right. It got chided a bit by the feminists, and I think unfairly.
Uh-huh. I didn't hear that. Why did it get chided?
Because the blonde across the hall was perceived to be the classic bimbo.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is, first of all, unfair because she has and exists in the real world, I don't want to say street smarts, ability, an intelligence, a natural human intelligence that the nerds lack. And I think that's a valuable asset. I
agree, yeah. I don't think that she's written as a bimbo at all.
I don't think so either.
I think that sometimes they take the low road sometimes with her
mm-hmm.
as a character, but it's because they're going for a laugh
right.
rather than, you know, than anything else. I mean, you know, she's basically a hardworking, independent, single person who is struggling with finding out who she is. And she lives across the hall from two guys who are, you know, very, very smart, who also are struggling to figure out who they are. So,
right, but she's able to function in the real world, and they're barely able to.
Right, whereas in the old days of sitcoms, the bimbo could barely walk and chew gum at the same time. Mm.
And besides, in sort of real-world circumstances, she's outsmarted or at least matched wits with Sheldon bit for bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the character played by, can't remember her name, but the girl who used to play opposite the guy who plays Leonard when they were both on Roseanne's show.
Right.
Who is super smart and kind of emotionally cold. So they have at least two different kind of archetypes.
Types of
women.
Yep. And actually, if you want to think about it, when Sheldon's mother shows up, and she's a pretty regular, even though it's small parts, she's also a very different kind of woman. She's a religious, Bible-thumping.
Right. And Leonard's mother, who is
right.
super intellectual.
Right.
You know, it's funny. I think I'm all for feminism, but sometimes I think you have to give it a rest.
Oh yeah, I agree. Two shows here that have caught my eye, and I want to ask you about. The first one is Eureka. Have you ever seen Eureka?
No, it's something I'd like to see.
It's from the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah,
and it's hard. You know, it fits that. It sort of fits that. That mold that we were talking about for House.
Yeah.
The opposite way. Okay, you have this very, very good-looking guy who is obviously there for women to appreciate.
Right.
You know, but the characters are all very, very smart.
Yeah.
But the shows themselves revolve around science fiction sort of themes, which traditionally – and I'm treading very carefully here, traditionally are not as much a female topic of interest. That doesn't mean that some women don't like science fiction. I know that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Some read it, some love it, you know. I'm not saying that, but traditionally that sort of science fiction inventions, things going off, bombs exploding,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of stuff is written for a male.
Right.
And Eureka's a little bit different that way. I mean, it really does get into relationships and gets into, you know, that sort of thing. It reminds me of the fact that when I was in graduate school, before I went to graduate school, after college, I lived on my own with a friend and worked. And we used to watch a soap opera every day.
Yeah, I had my share of soap opera.
You know, and it was real easy to lie to ourselves and say we're watching it for the stories or the drama. And in some ways, a show like Eureka is very, very similar to that. I mean, some of the plot is soap opera-like, but it's surrounded. You know, you could also say the same thing for Star Trek, that some of those shows were soap opera-like in terms of the relationships and stuff. But, you know, it was surrounded with a shroud of science and, you know.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about Star Trek.
Oh, I can name you half a dozen shows, Star Trek, either one of the original show or Next Generation that were about that sort of thing.
Just because Kirk got laid doesn't mean that it was a show about relationships.
No, but it definitely was about relationships. Well, anyway, I mean, to me, those were soap opera like. Even some of the ones in the Next Generation, you know, when they went to the planet where everybody loved each other and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think the Next Generation was more so that way. The interesting thing about the first one, the relationships were men with men. You know, it was Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, and that sort of emotional triangle was almost like McCoy and Spock were vying for Kirk's attention.
Mm-hmm. But I think that was a product of the time, because the next one, Next Generation, the characters were a lot more. It wasn't Picard.
No.
The other women and stuff had very, very strong.
Yes.
Well, there were no strong women roles in the original Star Trek.
You know,
per se.
No, there weren't. The nurse and Uhura.
Uhura, right.
Some people dismiss as a phone operator, but I don't think.
Right.
So.
No.
But other than that,
Next Generation had, you know, it's pretty much.
My friend's kid said, and he called her Deanna Troi, the psychic bimbo.
Uh-huh.
But he said, you know, if every captain of every ship who's ever existed could read the mind of his opponent, what a huge advantage it would be.
Right. Oh, sure.
She was eye candy and she was a trained therapist. But in the end, she was like radar for your enemies. It was a great ability to have.
Anyway, absolutely.
What about, I'm jumping around to an old show here. Scully and Mulder and the X-Files.
Again, I think it's one of those shows that was really made for both. In some ways, it's real similar to Eureka.
Yeah.
You know, in that you definitely had relationship parts, but you also had the drama and the sci-fi kind of feel with it.
I think you're right. And the thing that amazed me was the number of smart people that I talked to who thought at some point in the run of the show that this was real.
Uh-huh.
I talked to smart people who said, this is real.
Right. Well, I had an interesting run-in with somebody last week.
Yeah.
That under normal circumstances, Max, I would never even mention to you.
Yeah.
But because of what you just said, I'm going to mention it to you.
All right.
Okay? Now, without going into a lot of details, this individual is a guardian for one of the people that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not fit the traditional role of guardian. He's 25 years old.
Oh, okay.
And I was in a car with him doing some traveling to do some work. And on the way back, he got into telling a story about the show that appeared on the Animal Planet called The Lost Tapes. Are you familiar with it at all?
No.
Okay. The Lost Tapes are a fictionalized docudrama supposedly about tapes that were found of people's encounters with
aliens.
Monsters. Monsters and aliens.
Uh-huh.
So everything from Bigfoot to zombies to vampires to whatever. Okay, now the premise of the show always was that the people disappeared and all that was left was a videotape. And you were seeing the videotape. So you would see these people, how they came across the monster or whatever, or, you know. Now, as I'm telling you this, I'm sure in your own mind you're picturing it.
Right.
And you're saying, gee, wouldn't that get really old and be kind of dumb?
Yep.
You know, every single show sounds exactly the same, except, ooh, it's Bigfoot. Ooh, it's a zombie. Ooh, it's a vampire.
Yeah.
And this guy was convinced that it was, in fact, documentaries.
Yeah. Well,
and it's like, how do you explain to somebody like that? This is like Blair Witch Project or Cloverfield. This is not real.
Yeah, right.
You know? But like you and I have often said, well, if you see it on the internet, it must be true. Well,
of course.
You see it on the animal planet, it's got to be. I mean, you know, they don't tell you lies about penguins or goats or, you know, that kind of stuff. So it must be true. And that was his approach to it. And it was like, it was so scary, it was depressing.
I swear, somebody else said something to me about, if you see it on the animal planet, it must be true. Maybe I saw it on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Animal Planet has this credibility. Every channel establishes its relationship with the viewer. And Fox, for instance, has nothing to do with reality.
Right.
Fox News.
Of course not. That's why they call it phone news.
That's right. People look at that and they think it's actually real news.
Oh, I know they do. I know. And it's part of the it's become part of our culture.
Oh, of course it is, but so did Scully and Mulder.
Right. Well, you remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the products that were renamed? I mean, the reason that works is because people buy into whatever it is. If it's aspartame, it's horrible. But if it's
news,
know, amino sweet,
right,
it must be great. And, you know, if it's on a news channel like that, it must be news and it must be true, not, you know, because they would never lie to you.
Of course, news is news. Meanwhile, Roger Ailes is sitting behind the screen going,
pulling the levers. Absolutely. Yeah. One more show to ask you about.
All right.
I don't know if you've ever seen it. I have not, but College Boy's a big fan, and that is Jersey Shore.
Well, this gets back to my theory about reality shows being sports for women,
mm-hmm.
because they put real people in artificial circumstances and pressure them by putting them under stress to emote. And I think women
and see what you get.
Prefer the emotion. And I think, having only watched mere seconds at a time, that it's horrible.
Right.
And it bothers me on a cultural level, the number of people who fit Andy Warhol's prediction nowadays about everybody having their 15 minutes of fame. And listen to me doing a podcast.
Right.
But now, is that irony or poetic justice?
Probably a little bit of both.
A little bit
of both. On, right,
it
depends
on how painful it is for the people.
Right, yeah.
These people, at least you and I, will proffer an opinion. And I dare say we have a minimum level of intellectual ability. These people, from what I hear, and you can't completely avoid Jersey Shore.
No, you can't. It's everywhere.
Are obnoxious. They make their fame by being outrageous.
Right.
And I heard that Snooki, I think it was Binghamton University, got paid $15,000 for speaking to a university. And I was just stunned.
Well, are you more stunned at that or the fact that Bristol Palin got the same thing for speaking to a class?
At least Bristol Palin.
Is that our reality? Those are two choices. Is that our reality?
Not my reality. But
no,
Bristol Palin espoused, her family espouses, the theory of abstinence for young people. And she broke the theory and now has to deal with the consequences. There is a certain poetic justice in that, and her real life story could be informative to a hall filled with young people.
What are you, a Republican? First of all, if you're getting paid $15,000, it's not a consequence of
the $15,000 isn't no
right.
But she can speak to having made a decision and living with the results.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with that. You know why?
Why?
I'm going to say that it's the same thing like somebody who says they want to do a study of apes. So they plop themselves in the middle of an ape family, and then they write – everything they write says that the apes do this, this, and this. And what they don't include is because I'm here. You take Palin and you take her from a highly politically attuned family, you know, and all that, and then because she screwed up, then you give her that kind of access, and then you say, well, because she, you know, because she's lived that, she's had that issue before, that makes her a, you know, I don't know, what do you want to say, a role model, an appropriate whatever?
No, I don't. I'm not saying she's a role model. I'm saying that she can speak to the reality of her life.
Except that she can't. She has a kid.
Yeah.
Who she doesn't raise. How could she be raising the kid if she's out giving speeches?
No, that's a fair point.
You know?
But still, so, Snooki's famous for getting arrested on the beach for being drunk and disorderly.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying that she's any, you know, any better off, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's more of an issue or a problem when somebody like that does that. But I mean, you know, Jersey Shore is no different from shows like Big Brother or that, where you create a situation that's abnormal anyway, and then call it reality and watch the people decompensate on the screen.
Well, I'm going to disagree back, because Crystal Palin's situation was real life before Crystal Palin was famous. She had a mother who preached abstinence, and she went against her teachings and got in trouble. That's not an artificial reality.
Mm. No, that part is reality.
So that,
but
that's
everything
all
that happened post that.
I don't know. I don't hate the kid. It seems to me that she should be allowed to relate to people her age, whereas Snooki needs to grow up,
mm-hmm.
which I guess is implying that Crystal Palin is growing up, and I'm not prepared to do that. If she were grown up, would she be handing her baby to someone else and going out dancing?
Right. I was just going to say, going out dancing with the stars.
Right.
You know,
yeah, so. And that's a fair point. I don't know. I just – and you know me. This is not something that I'm expected to say. But
right.
And maybe it's a really low bar to reach, but I have more respect for Crystal Palin than I do Snooki.
Well, yeah, okay, I can understand that. But that, to me, that's like saying that you have – well, I don't want to go there. Just say that's not – there's not much – you know, there's not much to go on.
Right.
Yo-ho, it's hot. The sun is not a place where we could live. But here on Earth, there'd be no life without the light it gives. We need its light. We need its heat. We need its air.